Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to Today We Learned. Welcome back, boys, girls, and other folks who may or may not identify as a boy or a girl. Maybe you're two zebras in a trench coat. Hey, Razzle.
Hey, Dan. Welcome back yourself.
It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this is the only time you're going to hear my voice this episode, unless you hear me whispering things throughout. But listen, you'll probably have to listen to it twice, just to be certain.
Just to be
at certain. Least twice all the way through.
Or start this episode over and listen to Dan say hello.
Hello and welcome to Today We Learn, boys and girls. And sorry, got caught in a time loop there. But yeah, no, we have a very cool episode today. I was bummed I couldn't be here, but I was very happy because the awesome Mike Capes, who you guys may know from YouTube.com's The Hacks of Life.
Yeah.
He was here as
A guest host. He was here guest hosting again. You heard him a couple weeks ago with Catherine Hardwick.
Yes, not to be confused with Chris Hardwick.
Not to be confused with Chris Hardwick. Hardwick Watch. Watch Twilight.
Yeah. Right now.
Right now.
But with our audio.
But with our audio. This is will be a commentary to Twilight.
Jacob, you're a werewolf.
Yeah, this was a fun episode. I was bummed you couldn't be here, so I got Mike to join in. But she's a great guest. Chrissy Stratton is a wonderful, very talented writer, actress, and all that type of thing.
Yeah,
she's got a new show out on the internets that we delve into even more on the show.
Fantastic.
And Mike is there to chime in. And
he's like my more handsome, talented stunt double.
He provides some quips and things like that. And
you should call him Mike Quips.
Mike Quips is his actual...
Mike Quapes.
Mike Quapes.
That's
Michael Quapes.
That's his breakfast with a lisp.
Mike Quapes?
He's eating Mike Quapes.
Nutella on some Quapes.
Safeway. Safeway Quapes.
Yeah, so it's a fun episode, and I'm glad you're back here, Dan.
I'm glad I'm back as well.
See you, Dan.
Yeah.
So I guess let's start this episode.
Yes,
right?
So without further ado...
Today we learned number 113 with Christy Stratton.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Miami is vastly different from Orlando or Tampa.
Right. Orlando is just an amusement park, right? Is that...
Well, that's Kissimmee.
Yeah. I mean, it is, and tourists, but...
Huge.
Yeah. It also has Celebration.
Yes.
Have you heard of this? Do you know what this is, Celebration?
Tell them.
No, what Tell it
them.
Is.
Are we, hold
Disney.
On.
I already like the title.
Aristotle, are we rolling? I like it. We'll use this fact as a... then we'll go into your fun fact.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
wait,
so we'll start now.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you guys.
I hear you very full, but I don't hear myself very... Is that okay. It could just be the volume on my cans.
Oh, there we go. Is that a thing?
I'm
just going to play with these buttons. I don't know what these buttons do, but I'm going to play with them.
Okay. Well, I mean, are we... Do you... Okay. As long as I'm coming in loud and clear, everyone. I just can't... Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
We could... This
that's
is all a bit...
That's much better.
This is all a bit. We're not actually doing anything. For our listening audience, who can't see what we're doing. So real quick here. Welcome, Christy Stratton.
I'll give you a
more formal introduction after this fun fact while we're talking about Celebration. You were about to explain to Mike what Celebration Florida is.
Okay, yes. Celebration Florida is a planned development that Disney put together.
Okay.
And so it's like a little town, but it's very, like the facades in Disneyland, it has this kind of facade-y feel, but people live there. Like, you live in Celebration. I know the Angela Kinsey character on The Office would refer to it. But you can live there, but it's a Disney-owned, planned community.
How do you get in?
I don't know, honestly.
There must be, like, a process.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to name 18 Disney characters.
The Homeowners Association in that place.
Yeah, and I think there's certain things that you can't, like, wear in the street, or that you can't, you know, curse out loud, or whatnot. I mean, I don't know if it's that.
So it's like Virginia Beach. Have you ever been there?
No.
Oh, Virginia Beach is the worst place I've ever been. I was there for a wedding. The explanation why I was there. They have signs with the, like you know how they have, like, stop and yield signs?
Sure.
They have signs with the Grawlix, which is the Grawlix is like the official name for like asterisk and at sign and question mark and shouting. So okay. Like when you read in comic books, when someone's like cursing or someone's going to say like fuck or whatever,
it'll
be like asterisk dot dot blah 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 blah.
Right.
Like a bunch of weird random shit.
Sure.
And they have those things with the no, with the Ghostbuster no sign, and like you can get ticketed for like cursing out in public.
For cursing.
And Virginia Beach has is right next by like a naval air force base or whatever. So literally, as much as it rains and as much as like love bugs in Florida, like we were talking to earlier,
yes, yes,
there's jets that fly over and they're super loud, like every 15 to 20 minutes. It's so annoying.
Wow.
It's one of those.
So they took like they took the whole money in the jar from when we were kids, to the next level. They took it to a whole township.
Turn this into a town.
We're just gonna put this money in a big jar.
Let's pay for these crappy streets. And the bars all close at like 11 or something like that. It was like bonkers. Like we were there for a wedding, and I don't drink, but I'm still there with all my friends who like to throw down. And like, there's nothing to do at past a certain time, and it's like, what's going on here, guys?
I really want to know about celebrate. I really want to know about celebration.
Celebration.
Yeah,
here.
I would. I think.
Let's see here. I'm looking here. It doesn't say.
Do they have parties every day or like parades or something? Like,
I'm sure they have events.
That's got to be so funny. Like, every day they celebrate something. From someone
in the early in the early 1990s, I'm going to read straight from Wikipedia.
Oh, great,
here.
Perfect.
It's scary
stop
day.
Me! Stop me when it gets boring. In the early 1990s, the Disney Development Company established the Celebration Company to spearhead its development within approximately 4,000, around 5,000 acres of land in the southern portion of the Reedy Creek Improvement District,
which is Kissimmee.
The first phase of residential development occurred in the summer of 1996 with Celebration Village, West Village, and Lake Evelyn. Disney CEO Michael Eisner took an especially keen interest in the development of the new town in the early days, encouraging the executives at Disney to make history and develop a town worthy of the Disney brand and legacy. It's kind of like it's the Walt Disney's essentially his version of it's a not as fun version of what Walt Disney originally wanted Epcot Center to be. Because originally Walt Disney wanted Epcot Center to be like a livable community. It's a community of tomorrow.
Right. Experimental prototype.
Community of tomorrow. Very good. Very good.
That's nice.
And it they ended up changing it like when he died before Epcot could get finished and made, then Disney ended up making it what it is today, but that's what celebration
which
is.
Which is where you can drink, right, everybody?
Yeah. Do you drink around the world?
Oh, yes, you do.
What does the town look like? Does it look like Pinocchio's village or something? Or are there pictures?
I remember it just looking like you're not going down Main Street in the reds is, and the is, whatever. Like it was something. A little bit more neutral.
That's just a normal town. That's part of a town.
Okay.
It looks like there's a let's see here. Oh, there we go. I'm on the Wikipedia.
That's fun.
I'm flipping through pictures on
like
it.
That, like that.
Old school Main Street.
Yeah.
That's wow.
That's a weird building. That's the Bank of America building in Downtown Celebration. It's got some weird.
Wow.
I don't know. It seems a little fun to me. I'll be honest. It seems a little fun.
Especially if you lived in Celebration. Are there going to be like Star Wars towns now and like Marvel?
Oh my gosh.
How cool would that be?
I'm just saying people would move there.
Oh, immediately. To have like the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Oh my gosh.
And that's what's interesting about like Disneyland and the Disney World, they're doing Star Wars to parts.
Yeah.
And they're making it like they need to they're making it more in tune with the new movies.
Oh.
So it's like the new planet or whatever.
They're not doing a bunch of prequel stuff?
Well, they'll have bits and pieces from all the movies, but they're really gearing towards promoting the new things. Which I get, but it's like I want Mos Eisley, I want Tatooine, I want
Well, I heard they're building the tavern in Disney.
Yeah,
you can't drink in there. But Disney.
They should put that's the thing is like
right.
They're building it in Disney and not like the other one. What's the
California Adventure?
Where
you can't
drink.
Yeah.
You can't drink there.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll bend the rules a little bit.
I mean, you can drink in Club 33.
Yeah, but that's only for special.
You know about Club 33?
I do.
Have you been? I've never been. I'm trying to figure that out.
I don't know how to get in, but every now and then I'll see people on my Instagram like posting a photo and it's like
a friend
Hold
of
on.
Mine is,
A, why am I
wait
following
a minute.
You? B,
right.
How are you in? How am I following you and how are you not taking me in there?
I've met a couple of friends or kind of acquaintance friends that are friends with Roy Disney IV?
Of course.
Okay.
Listen, if your last name's Disney, you better keep that number train going.
Oh, yeah. And he's But he's at like the young, he's in the 20s, so he brings a lot of people to Disney, and they go and they check out the apartment. So they check out Walt's apartment that was on the in the park, and then they also go to Club 33. I'm
the
like,
tunnels?
How?
Yeah, I wonder if they go in the tunnels.
I don't. They didn't
or do they? Are they real? Like, isn't that something that's a myth, or is that real?
The tunnels are real.
I don't know about Disneyland, but in Disney World in Florida, in Orlando, it's built up a couple stories.
Oh,
and they have
Disney's mostly underground.
Disneyland too?
Yeah, because I had a friend that worked there, and he used
at
to
this
wash
Disneyland
dishes there.
Down
at
here.
This Disneyland, he used to wash dishes in the park, and what happens is he told me all the dishware comes down conveyor belts underground, and you're down there, and that's where you do all the work. Like it all.
It's like on. It's like
factory. Like an underground factory of gnome type people.
Oh wow!
Well, that makes sense because I also heard a rumor, and we'll corroborate this next week when we go because they did the Star Wars thing, and we have passes and we want to go. You're welcome to join us if you have a pass, but we love Star Wars.
You gotta bring your own pass.
If I'm allowed back, by the way.
Oh yeah. Michael does.
I might not be.
He hosts a show, and he created a show on YouTube called Hacks of Life.
Okay.
Which is like he'll do like elaborate hacks.
Love that.
And one of the major episodes that just came out that exploded on the internet was hacking Disneyland.
Yeah, I hacked Disneyland. I performed a stunt called the Man Baby, because babies get in for free. Toddlers and babies get in for free. So I built a stroller that fit my man friend, and we rolled him. I rolled him. I dressed up like a dad, and I rolled him right into Disneyland.
Well, wait a minute. Did they know what you were doing, but they couldn't argue? They didn't know.
Oh, no. I shot this guerrilla style.
But so no one said, like, hold up there, sir?
No, people looked at. Well, the guy who I walked past just so happened. He was just a sweet old man. He didn't even really look. He didn't even look at me. You saw the footage, right?
Yeah.
It was just
like. I'm gonna look this up. This is fantastic.
I can show you a picture as we're talking.
Yeah, but it goes to the theory and like that you never see workers walking around with bags of trash because there's holes in the. That would make sense if it's built up. If there's an underground, it's like on the movie Speed when Dennis Hopper took all the trash money underground. So you never see people walking around with bags of trash at Disney World or Disneyland because if it is built up a level, they just take it from...
Yeah, it all goes down in conveyor belts. And like,
there's some story a friend of mine told me about Celebration about a lost truck that the trash was building up and they were like, oh my gosh, you can't have a trash in Celebration. But they... I don't know if this is true. Look it up. But there was some curve by a lake that apparently the truck had actually gone into the lake and no one knew or something.
This was in Celebration?
Yes. Before we get off of this topic, there is some great story if you can find it.
Lost truck.
Truck in a lake.
The reason why it went away is because they just made a celebration out of it.
I wish I could remember this fantastic story.
Celebration Florida truck and lake.
Yeah.
So real quick here, while we're looking this up. And you can zoom in if you want to check out.
No, I can't find it.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah, right?
Because I was thinking it was like a coffin, but no, you've actually made it compact.
Yeah, I squeezed them in there and... built a little skateboard on caster wheels to hold his weight.
This is amazing.
I can't find it. But while I can't find it, let's let the audience know. Let's do a proper introduction here while we got into this awesome fun episode. I like this already.
All
this
right,
is gonna
me
be fun.
Too. Well, yeah. I just won America's Next Top Model.
Yes.
And that's why I'm here. I'm just like doing a little detour.
Huge detour.
Doing some podcasts.
We luckily made a deal with America's Top Model, and we're going to have all their winners on for the next 10 years.
Right? Because they're so funny. That was mean. That was mean. I should have said that.
Ladies and
gentlemen,
they're hilarious. Yeah,
I'm pro model.
Pro model.
Yeah.
Pro model. Zoolander 2 looks great.
Oh my gosh, it does. It totally does. Totally does. Go on. You were saying about me.
Sorry. Yes.
Go on. Talk. Tell me more things about me.
Yes. I like this part.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a great guest, a writer, producer, best known for her work on King of the Hill, Awkward, Hope and Faith, and the upcoming, I believe it's out now. It's out now. A digital series exclusively on Funny or Die that's going to eventually be on your YouTube channel.
Yes, correct.
Called Everyone's Crazy But Us. If you're not driving, please give a warm round of applause to Christy Stratton.
Yay!
I'm not driving.
So,
thank you
for joining us.
Oh, I love this.
Liked all of those things. that I said. Oh, okay. I've seen episodes of Awkward. I've seen episodes of Hope and
You've
Faith.
You've seen Hope and Faith.
I've seen Hope and Faith. I've seen like one or two. I watch TV, so like I
did a season on Raising Hope, so I thought I'm just going to do stuff with hope in the title.
I'm a huge fan of that.
Just because I'm, you know, hopeful. Yeah.
Are you a fan
as a person?
Obama really hurt his campaign. His campaign right? really affected her career.
I mean, that's how I make my choices.
Smart.
Right? It's just good business. Yeah.
Her production company later sued
Hope and Celebration is this episode title.
Yes.
Hopeful Celebration.
Yeah, Hopeful Celebration.
I like it.
You know, we like to be optimistic on this show. Sometimes we're...
Right,
we're
in troubled times. Yeah. Let's have hope.
Absolutely.
You're hired. You get
some
my
Tory
vote.
Times. Some Tory times.
So, tell me quick. Let's talk real quick about this, then we'll get into a fact you brought.
Yes.
You're a comedy writer. Have you?
I am.
You and we were talking.
Well, before, I try to be.
You try to be. We were talking before we started recording. You were a PA at University. You went to Florida.
I went to University of Florida.
Then you were a PA at Universal Studios.
Yes, correct. An intern and then a PA.
Okay.
And then, I would schlep sandbags and take, you know, Kathy Moriarty to the bathroom, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Now,
how was that?
It was really very glamorous. It wasn't a very glamorous job, walking around with the walkies and schlepping things and putting banners up and doing whatnot and sweating balls. But the one time when they were shooting Matinee, it's a Joe Dante movie, John Goodman. It's wonderful.
Matinee.
It's a wonderful movie. But they shot it in Orlando at one of the sound stages at Universal. And she was somehow in the park for some reason, because the people don't need to really associate with the park. The stages are right there, though. And I was tasked with that. And I just loved it. It was like, oh my gosh. And she's like, oh, I don't even remember. Like, can you take me to the bathroom? It was just very, very glamorous. And her just and in her heels, and she is a movie star. Right, I mean, it was just something.
Did she have a feather boa? Because I feel like when you talk like that, you always have to have a feather boa.
Well, the hair was
and gloves.
She was smoking a cigarette on that penguin stand.
Honestly, it was just like, and here I am in like my cap and my schlubbies, and I just was like, wow, this is something.
By the lanyard
this
with
yes,
on it.
Yes, yes.
This episode is brought to you by schlubbies.
Yeah,
schlubbies.
Shout out to schlubbies.
Where is when you're chilling? Or taking a movie star to the bathroom.
Right.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
How did you go from that to getting into writing?
Well, I'll tell you. You know, I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas, and then I went to University of Florida, and I just never knew that TV writing was anything I could ever accomplish. Like, no one in my high school had ever done it. I mean, Lee Harvey Oswald went to my high school, so that's what's happening there. But I
great comedy writer.
I'm surprised the government didn't try to shoot you to cover up a conspiracy.
But when I moved,
it's my opinion, but it's a fact.
Like I knew, like I loved television. I loved David Letterman. I even tried to get that internship, but I submitted my resume late. Like it was one of those things that like
it's
I was
the late
just
show.
This,
you should be fine.
Right. Oh, I should have. Boy. If I was that, I'm not that fast, but if I was, I would have said that.
Yeah.
And so when I interned at Orlando, I'm like, oh, this is cool. Like, production is great. But I knew that, like, there wasn't enough entertainment industry going on there. And there was this thing called the DGA trainee test. I don't know if they still have it. But the idea was the DGA would train people, like, as PAs and pay you. Okay. And then you would kind of work your way up to being, like, a second AD.
Oh, wow.
And they would place you places because I was just used to getting my own work at this point. But it was I'm like, this sounds cool. And the internet wasn't around. So I had to fly out.
I'm sorry, the internet?
Yeah, it wasn't around. There was a time. And I had to fly out to L.A. to USC and take this test to and it was interesting because I remember because I had PA'd on a show called America's Funniest People, which is Vin DeBona that does America's Funniest Home Videos that still runs today. Yeah. But and like I had some connections because of the PA work I'd done in Orlando. And so I had a couple of meetings at Dick Clark Productions. Ooh. That was very exciting at the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what I want to do, but it's here somewhere. Like you could on one block, there'd be Chinese food on the next block. Indian food or sushi. It's like, wow, you can get all the foods here. Like, really, all of them. And so
it's
I
like
took
eating around the world at Ekpop Center.
Hi.
Yeah.
So I took the test, which was so weird because they, anyway, it was just a weird system to try to get PAs. But I passed that level, but then I didn't get past the where they put you in a room and they give you a problem to solve and then everyone, like, then they observe the group dynamics. It's very okay. strange. But yeah. I did not become a DGA trainee, but I did decide to move here, and I did. I packed up my car and my Eclipse and my Mitsubishi Eclipse and drove out here, and I started kind of working as a temp, like a PR firm, or I temped at, where did I temp? For a producer. And I started taking groundlings classes and learned a lot about, it's not just about the work. There's all this other stuff you've got to navigate. And then I left there and went to Acme Comedy Theater. And a lot of the people that were there were writing spec scripts and getting writing work. And I'm like, well, I'll try to do this. And I also did stand up for a spell. I'm just not, I don't have that thing in me that can withstand like rejection of that order. Like it's intense. It's
instant level. Judgment.
Oh my gosh, it's intense. Yeah. And so I dabbled in things. And then I did the Warner Brothers TV Writers Program, which I don't know if that still exists anymore either. But that helped me, I wrote a spec in there. I wrote a spec, King of the Hill, which I actually got on King of the Hill with, and so it just was little steps in all these different directions. And then I just noticed that once I started to commit to writing, because I was like, oh, do I want to be an actress? I want this, I want that, I want 100 things. But the minute I just focused it down to like, okay, I'm going to follow these open doors, not like it was like flinging open for me, but it was still a lot easier than some of this other crap. And so I'm like, I'm following the open doors. I'm like, oh, this is TV writing I enjoy, because there's still kind of a personality performance element to it. You still have to kind of work those muscles, but I can work out my stuff at home with a glass of wine and, you know, do that. And I can still create characters and I can create worlds and all those things. And so that's kind of where I am.
That's awesome.
At this point.
That's awesome.
So yeah.
That's
all right.
We're gonna edit
I don't know
that
if that
out.
Was
no.
awesome or if that was just boring.
No, that's great. That's interesting. Cause I always, I got a couple podcasts and that, you know, we got decent amount of listeners and all that, but I'm still on the, I've only been in Los Angeles for 6 years. So I'm always fascinated to hear the paths people have gone, because I'm still kind of on that, a door here and a door there are kind of opening and I'm getting arrested for breaking and entering into this town.
Right.
So it's kind of like that. So I'm still on the entry. So I always like, it's always fascinating, as well as like for the listeners, you know, who don't, you know, you always see people like with these jobs, and it's like, well, what did you take? And
there.
It's like, well,
the path is always
the
different.
Path is always it's, different. You don't know, you didn't know going starting off as like an intern or a PA that you'd be here at this point. You know,
I never imagined it. I could like, never have imagined.
It's always absolutely. like I always I tend to have ideas that I never follow through with, and one of those ideas was like things I've learned from like watching movies type of a thing, a book about that, and one thing in that chapter is going to be about you don't know like everything you do is will take you somewhere that you didn't plan on. Kind of like...
Correct.
And I attribute it to the ghost bridge in Indiana Jones in the Last Crusade, when he walks across, you know, the invisible bridge.
Leap of faith.
The leap of faith.
Right.
And you don't see the bridge until when he walks across it, then he throws the sand on it and he sees how he got to where he got.
Yeah.
And when you're going through life doing all these various things, you don't know the end until you actually look back and realize... You needed to do all of those things.
Meet those people or have that experience.
Absolutely.
Or even, like, I am so glad that because I have a very long learning curve.
Yeah.
I'm not like a lot of people are like, oh, I just went to Harvard and then I got on this and then whatever. Yeah. I'm not that person. I'm not that smart. But
me too.
What is Harvard?
All of those things, like living in Florida, for instance.
Yeah.
I can, with authority, write about what that is. What that's like, or I worked in when I worked at Warner Brothers here in the human resources department.
Okay.
Well, now I know what that is. I know what kind of things they would do, so it doesn't sound false on the page. And you know, I go back to Gainesville every now and then, and I talk to some students, and I'm like, they're like, oh, what do I need to do? Do I need to write a spec? Do I need to do this? And I go, live life, because it makes you so much more interesting a writer. Now, does it make you more successful a writer? I don't know. But I do know that just having experiences, just meeting those people, doing those things, being poor, you know, whatever, dealing with the DMV, like whatever things that seem like, oh, I'm unhappy, I'm not doing what I want to do, but they will all just build this character of who you are and who you bring to the table when you're doing your thing.
It 100%. Creates your unique voice. That's that's how you separate from the rest.
Yes.
Your life experience comes into play every time you write.
Absolutely.
You know, mine was the same. Like, I've been writing for years and developing shows and near misses with networks. And then I do this Hacks of Life thing on the side on YouTube. That thing takes off.
That's terrific.
Oh, thank
that's
you.
That's exactly the thing. That's right.
And it's we were talking the other night about living life makes you authentic, and you know, it makes you, you know, you have like these like Conans or whatever who are like the genius comedy writers from Harvard's and all
that.
But majority of, I would say, a lot of like actual writers' room writers are coming, like Seinfeld, perfect example. I was listening to Spike Ferriston, I think it was on Chris Hart, on the Nerdist one, the official one. Spike Ferriston wrote the Soup Nazi for Seinfeld.
Oh, okay, yes.
And he wrote that episode. And he was talking about how the writer's room for Seinfeld, like the everything about like the George Costanza, the his answering machine, where it was the voice of this theme song for Greatest American Hero. Believe it or not,
yes.
George isn't at
home. There's no remaking, by the way.
A writer in the writer's room. He had a friend who had that on his thing. So the writers, a lot of stuff that was on Seinfeld was natural and was all things everybody in the writer's room did at some point in their poor lives or in their, you know, through their friends.
Right.
And it's interesting. And while we're talking about this, like, so Fort Worth, Texas, you were born in from Fort Worth.
Yes.
Fun fact about Fort Worth quick, then this will segue into what I'm getting at. Fort Worth is the 16th largest city in the United States and the 5th largest city in the state of Texas. That's always interesting when I hear numbers as the largest cities, because there's so many cities. Then when you think of like ranking, 16th is actually pretty big.
Texas actually has three of the top five, I think, biggest metropolitan areas. Okay. It might be 10, but I actually think it's three of the top five largest metropolitan areas, because you've got the Houston area, you've got Dallas-Fort Worth.
Dallas.
And
Austin area.
That's actually not that big. Okay. What am Austin I thinking? What am I missing?
Their Whole Foods is huge.
Fort Worth.
Right.
Well, Dallas.
Fort Worth,
that's
Dallas.
Fort Worth is Dallas.
And then the Houston. And then I'm missing something. I swear. Don't have a baby, because after you have that baby, part of your brain that knows stuff like goes away. Like it's just gone. Like whatever that is, whatever that thing I brought in my head and I knew when I walked in here, it's just gone. Luckily that was
it's been right now the baby's saying it.
It's been
it's a symbiotic ET type of thing.
It's been replaced by concern.
Yeah.
Like I have two nephews and I hang out with them, and everything, it's like Terminator vision where it's like sharp corner, sharp object, don't be bouncing. So you're from Texas, but let's get to your fun fact that you brought.
Then
I'll ask you about this.
Okay. My fun fact, something I read recently, and I don't know if this really is the right type of thing. Rolling Stone released, which they do sometimes, lists of the top whatevers. And they just released, and I highly disagree with a lot of it, but the top five, do you want to guess any of these? Okay.
What's the title of the list?
Oh, the top 100 guitarists of all time.
Oh.
Of all time.
Ugh. Okay, no, top five?
Yeah. I can tell you. I can tell you the thing.
Let me guess a couple.
Okay.
Okay.
Jean Frusciante?
He's on the list, but not on
Eddie
the top
Van Halen.
Like eight or something.
Okay. Eric Clapton.
Number two.
Okay. Pete Townsend.
Hit lower on the list, yes.
Okay.
Stevie Ray Vaughan?
Yes, number 12. I thought he should be higher.
He should be higher.
I met him once.
No way.
Yes, I'll tell you that story in a minute.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Jack White.
No. I don't think he's on the list.
I know
there are, there are crazy ones on the list that are
Slash?
There.
Slash?
He's not in the top five.
Okay.
Think gentlemen that are a little bit older than
that's
us.
That's what I was going for. Okay. Then I'm like, they're all lower. Jimmy Page.
Yes, he's number three, which I thought he should be number two. But
okay, I'm going to go with this, and I think he's overrated a little bit. Very talented, and he's got to be up there, but I feel like he was kind of sloppy, and Jimi Hendrix.
Yes, he's number one. Yeah. What do you mean he's sloppy?
Listen, he's great, but I mean, comparatively, he was a lot of like, I think he's a lot of. I think he's. I don't think he should be one. I don't think he should be one compared to like Eric Clapton or Eddie Van Halen or, you know, Jimmy Page or Those yeah. of that ilk.
Number four is Keith Richards, and five Jeff Beck, who I really Jeff can't. Beck. I don't have a thing. You
was
know,
he in the Yardbirds, who is he in? Jeff Beck.
Yes, Ooh. He was one. He was there with there was one point when the Yardbirds are like Clapton, Beck, and Page, like in the yeah, same time. I think. Again, I won Rock Jeopardy by the way.
Yardbirds.
I won.
Okay,
but there's a piece of the brain that's gone.
Yeah, the other two being Eric Clapton and Jimmy. What a supergroup! Come on, oh, we're not what an untalented bunch of people.
Yeah, right.
How do you do that? Like,
they was that, is that true? They were all
yeah,
three in
the,
one.
The Yardbirds yeah. were. Wow. He is one of the three noted guitarists. Okay, so the Yardbirds just. Like the rest of them, they just kept getting... So it was Eric Clapton, Jimmy Page, and Jeff Beck were all, at different points, sure. guitarists
Keith
for the Yardbirds.
Keith Relf? Wow. Am I right about that? The lead singer that was a mess? Keith Relf? Tell me it's there.
Not on the Yardbirds.
What? Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry.
Relf.
What is Keith Relf?
I think... I don't know. Maybe he...
What is Keith Relf?
What is Keith
Relf? I thought he was there and he, no, like, what is OD'd and some stuff.
For members of... On here are... Jim McCartney. Oh, so this might be. This
there,
is,
but there were several iterations.
Yeah, here. Oh, Keith Relf. All right, there we go. It was after the Yardbirds broke up in '68. Lead guitarist Jimmy Page founded what became Led Zeppelin with vocalist harmonica player Keith Relf and Jim McCarthy.
Wow.
Formed. Oh no, wait.
The new Yardbirds.
While Keith Relf. So apparently he was in the Yardbirds, but it's not listed on. Maybe that's because normal on most band Wikipedias it'll say previous members. This one doesn't have it.
Well, yeah, he was in the and then he's like,
so
I'm
yeah,
form
he was
my
okay. There we go. Former members, Keith Relf. Yeah, you were right.
And then he put an ad in, I think Melody Maker or something. And at the time, John Paul Jones was doing all that session stuff with like Donovan, and his wife apparently was like, you should answer Jimmy Page's thing. You should just go in on that. And then he brought in, he saw Robert Plant at some bar, or he was with the Band of Joy or something, and he was 19, and Jimmy Page was like, wow, he's kind of old, like, he must not be very good. He was 19, I'm not kidding you
Jeez
guys.
Louise.
And then I think Bonham was a friend of Plant's, and then there you go, and then that's it, and then boom, done, like, that's
There's
it.
There's the Zeps.
There they are.
Wow.
And then interesting how, like, all of those, like... all those old bands was so incestuous, like when you hear their backstories
right.
on how like it was just destiny that all these genius and talented people somehow made it in other groups type of a thing. Do you mean like
yeah
it's interesting how they were all tied together with side projects or bands
sure,
or whatever
but them together is just
is like
was the thing yeah. like I think
like
any...
even Derek and the Dominoes and you know with
right
it's like with nah. Clapton and all that, but then it's like there's always that one who just like you remember that one,
right?
Unless it's like Zeppelin or whatever, or Donovan. He's got that one tune.
Oh, he's honey. He's got more than that.
maybe
he has got
Mellow Yellow, right?
Sunshine that... Superman.
Okay, that's a good one.
Season of the Witch.
I don't know that one.
It's in several movies. gosh, I of course now I've got Hurdy Gurdy Man.
I don't know that tune.
Heard
I'm gonna check
it,
these
for
out.
Sure.
Yeah. It's anyway, but I think that just proves like any movie, TV show, band, it's got to be the perfect combo.
Yeah, right.
Every element
right.
has to be in place, and you can be super talented, and if all of those, or you can have a good, be a great actor, or have a great whatever, unless all of those elements just come together.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
Yeah, you know, we always expect when we love a certain actor, we're always expecting the next work because we saw him and when all the elements combine, yeah.
right?
And then you get so destroyed when the next thing is like, God, like, it just didn't have what happened.
Yeah.
That guy's still great, but
right.
it's so funny how it's orchestrating the perfect
it's everything.
Group.
Yep.
Yeah,
everything.
I mean, it's down to the crew. I mean, it's down to everyone involved.
Yep.
And that's why people work together. So, like when they find their people, you know, it's like Scorsese always finds. He had De Niro for the longest. He finds his people,
right?
And
Schoonmaker, isn't that his DP? Oh, no, editor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You get that crew.
You get that
like
crew.
Like Nolan Chris Nolan has a lot of the
and
same.
And if you see the same actors popping in, it's kind of cool to see that. Like, they get it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it doesn't always work, but
no.
Right.
Yeah.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Okay.
Stevie
Ray Vaughan. Oh my gosh. Okay. So in the 80s,
hold on,
in the
speak
late
loudly
80s.
Into my collar as if we don't have all mics in front of us anyways.
I went to high school in Fort Worth, and this guy who was in my class, his name is Chris Hunter. And
I know Chris.
I'm like, really? Like, and I'm like, there's no way. Well, his mother was, I don't know that they ever got married, but let's just say they were married. I think. I don't know. Doyle Bramhall. Doyle Bramhall would mean nothing to you guys. But in Texas, he is this, you know, songwriter. He wrote for Stevie Ray. And he had a solo career. His son, Doyle Bramhall the second, he is not a junior. It's like the second.
Right.
Was in a band called the Archangels with Charlie Sexton. Again, I can imagine that's probably not. But, and he went to my high school as well. But, and he's dating Renee Zellweger. You know those pictures? They're like, oh, look at Renee's face.
Yeah.
To me, I'm like, look at Doyle's hair. It's insane. He was the
Bring
guy next to her. Please, please. But again, they're, the Bramhalls, very talented. And because he wrote a bunch of stuff for Stevie Ray, it was my buddy Chris's birthday. I want to say it was 17th birthday. So maybe it was 87. It was before the world knew about Stevie Ray, but we knew about him. The first album, Texas Blood, was out. We knew about him. And so I'll never forget, I was working at Foot Locker, and it was a surprise party for Chris at this pizza place called Mama's Pizza. And Mama's Pizza had the bottom floor was, you know, people. And then you could have the upper floor for your party, and they would, you know, bring pizza. So, we're looking at this picture of the. Okay, that's Doyle.
Yeah.
But anywho,
like
he's
Arnold
so
Harshack.
Talented. He's. I mean, he tours with Roger Waters. Like he is. Like this fam. This whole family. This whole world is so talented.
Right.
So, my friends, I was going to miss the surprise. My friends call me at Foot Locker, and they're like, "Get here, Stevie Ray is here." And I'm in my. I'm in the uniform, which I don't know if any. If there's still Foot Lockers, I don't even know.
You look like a referee.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm
so
like,
quit,
oh my gosh,
you quit Foot Locker.
Pretty much. Well, no, I'm a rule follower.
Gotcha.
So I waited till closing.
Gotcha.
And then I was hoping I had clothes in my car, and I did. I had a man's sweater vest that I'd given to my stepbrother, but he didn't want. So it was like a shirt and this man's sweater vest. But I did. I really like to like. I'm going to dress like a dude, and how isn't that cool?
Right.
So that was my thing anyway. And like a denim skirt. I don't know what. I don't know what was in the car.
Yeah.
I just changed right there in the car.
Sure.
And then I drove to Mama's, and I went up the stairs, and like he was in this darkened area with this stunningly beautiful woman and some other guy. And I'm like, that's not him. Like, I'm some authority. I'm like, that's not him, but it was him. And then he came out and did a whole set with my buddy Chris,
no.
the birthday boy, on drums.
What?
I don't know that it was 2 hours, but it was
yeah.
probably like, you know, four songs.
That's wow. enough.
And I just remember, just for, I don't know, maybe 20 to 30 teenagers
Jeez,
in
wow.
a Mama's Pizza.
That's cool.
It was something. And my friend Emily and I, who are both very shy, but we both were on the newspaper staff. I'm like, we have to write an article about this. Like, ooh, this is the kind of thing that reporters do. You report. Like, who's going to do it? You do it. No. And in fact, to her credit, she's like, okay, I'll do it. And so she went up to him afterwards and like, oh, you know, why would you do a, you know, a gig like this? And he said, friends.
Awesome.
Friends.
He just loved the TV show. That's what it
was. Huge
but
fan
I thought
of
that was that yeah. was such a
yeah,
thing.
That's awesome.
And I talked
wow.
to the model girlfriend. She met him like he was coming off a bus or something in wherever whatever country she was from, I don't remember. And she was like, what an interesting, you know, looking man. And that whole story is so tragic that he finally got off drugs and then died in a helicopter
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's
Was it airplane or helicopter? It was one of those things from a concert venue, I think, in Colorado. Anyway,
right,
just
right.
terribly sad and tragic. And oh my gosh! Anyway,
wow, that's
yeah.
so cool.
I mean, and I think, I have a ticket, like one of those things, like waitresses write on one of those, like a
oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
a thing, and it says, "Christy, love to you, Stevie Ray Vaughan," and then it's framed in my guest room
because
like
so
we all
awesome.
Were like, "Oh, can we have your autograph?"
Yeah.
of course, you're gonna do that.
Stevie Ray Vaughan had just performed with Eric Clapton at Alpine Valley Music Theater in East Troy, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Okay.
All of the musicians boarded four helicopters bound for Chicago, which were waiting on a nearby golf course. It was hazy and foggy out. And Vaughn, along with three members of Eric Clapton's entourage and bodyguard, boarded the third of the four helicopters. And that was the helicopter, like, veered left and it crashed into a hill.
Oh, God.
And he had just kind of gotten off drugs. Like, it was a big thing.
Wow.
And it's something, just think of how many, like, of obviously drugs. I mean, you think of how many people are, you know, you think of just like actors now, unfortunately, that get into drugs and all that type of
yeah.
thing, and they die from drugs. But yet you look at like all like in the heyday, I feel like more of them, more like musicians and celebrities and all that, died. Like, at least musicians, because they're traveling and touring more.
Sure.
How many died in like in crashes?
John Denver,
Jim Croce.
Yes. Buddy Holly.
Yeah, that guy. Richie Valens. Dudes from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, right. Oh.
That doesn't happen that much
anymore. You don't hear about that as
much. You don't.
Much.
I mean, yeah, thank God. Then you even had like not too long ago, DJ AM and Travis Barker gotten that plane thing.
DJ AM, what's he up to these days?
He died.
He passed away.
Oh, he died in that plane crash?
No.
DJ
no,
AM.
He didn't die in the plane crash.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
He died actually like a
he
year.
He killed himself later.
No, he didn't kill himself.
You did? He didn't?
No, I think he OD'd.
Oh, my gosh.
But not on purpose.
Okay.
Yeah.
He didn't die. That's right. They all survived.
Actually, I should to fact check that because I don't want to say, I don't want to.
Allegedly, yeah.
Disgrade somebody like that. But
yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Because he dated Nicole Richie.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
He died.
Suspected drug overdose.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, sorry. Okay,
that's
so
terrible.
It was.
That's right. He survived. Him and Travis survived.
Yes. You know, I was interviewing bands for a bit. That was my gig for a while.
Oh, cool.
And I interviewed Travis Barker, and I remember they specifically told me going in, he doesn't want to talk about that.
Okay.
And so I don't know what it was that I got him to talk about it. And he offered it up. Yeah. And I was the first guy to kind of get some info on that.
Okay.
And he talked about it, yeah.
It's interesting that we're talking about interviewing musicians, because I have a fun fact about a phrase that came from an interview with a musician.
Okay.
The phrase "all the way to the bank" was popularized by Liberace. When a journalist implied Liberace was gay, he sent him a telegram saying, "What you said hurt me very much. I cried all the way to the bank." And it became his catchphrase after repeating it to reporters while suing the newspaper. So it's like,
so
that's where
he
like
came up with
laughing
that.
And crying all the
way to the
bank.
That was,
yeah, all the way to
the
bank.
That was Liberace?
Liberace came up with that.
Wow.
According
love
to Wikipedia.
That.
Yeah. It's a great, I always love where phrases come from.
Yeah, that's really
here's
cool.
Here's a question. Yeah. I don't know the answer. We listened to Beautiful Boy, John Lennon.
Okay.
In it. Now, mind you, this is 1980. And he says, life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans.
Yeah.
Did he come up with that, or did he just use that phrase in that song? I've always wondered that because I always forget it. Like, I'm driving or something. I'm like, ooh, look that up. And I never do.
Right.
But he says it, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if...
Was that an actual...
If it was a thing, or did he come up with that?
Oh, wow, yeah, check that
because
out.
Because I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if he did,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Apparently, everything is saying it's... Everything on Google... Everything is from that song and from John Lennon.
Written
by John Lennon. It's attributing it to John Lennon. So John Lennon came up with that.
I mean, that's pretty good.
It's true.
Like, that's Shakespearean. That's really good.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was John Lennon.
Yeah.
He was no slouch, but...
I'll give it to him.
Yeah. Well, there were some, you know, kind of the crazier ones that don't make sense. But that the his songs on Double Fantasy, I think, are his best work.
Yeah.
I'm not a big, like, I don't... Like, I love the Beatles, but I'm not one of those people that has all the, you know, so I'm just saying that. I tend to gravitate more towards the Paul songs because I love a good melody. But his songs on the Double Fantasy album are all just devastating and wonderful. And I think they're better than Imagine. I mean, I know Imagine is wonderful,
sure.
But like, to me, Watching the Wheels is better. Just like Starting Over is better. Like, I just, in my opinion, I think the songwriting skills are... Anyway, that's so good for him.
We can appreciate that.
I think so.
Yeah.
He definitely has... that's life. That's an amalgam or whatever of everything, if I'm using amalgam right, of like, you know...
Amalgam?
I
don't know. Can you say
amalgam? I would say amalgam.
But that's what that means, right? It's like a combination of everything.
Do we know how to say that?
Of like, I think amalgam? I think
I would say amalgam, but...
Here's another one.
Amalgam. Wait,
is it amalgam?
Dental amalgam is liquid mercury.
All right.
That's all that comes up.
Is there a website that you can? It'll just sound it out for you phonetically.
Probably.
The dictionary.
It's gotta be.
There's a little hit a button.
Yeah.
There is. The dictionary.com does.
And then a robot comes on and says amalgam.
Yes. We used to do that in writers' rooms and have it say like poop. Because we're very sophisticated.
Yes.
All right, here we go. This is fun because this is actually. I'm glad I got. I have like facts here that all.
Oh, good.
But it works great with your with since we have the we're going to re-edit the beginning of this to and introduce you as the winner of Music Jeopardy.
Yes. Yes.
This blew my mind yesterday when I was compiling facts to discuss here. So you wrote on King of the Hill.
Correct.
You probably at one thing that probably helped you, I'm going to assume helped you write for King of the Hill, was the fact that you're from Texas, obviously.
Yes, correct. What would they call us? Texperts.
Okay.
Yeah, we were the Texperts.
That's great.
But this blew my mind because this was one of my, you know, it's a great album and it's a great band. Did you know this, Mike? But obviously you knew this because you're the winner of Music Jeopardy.
Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
I actually lost Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
the King of the Hill theme song.
Yes.
Was written and performed by The Refreshments.
Yes.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay,
how would you know that? How would you guys know who that is?
I know who The Refreshments are.
Oh,
Fizzy, right. Fuzzy, Big and Buzzy or whatever. That's a great album.
Yeah, okay.
They did that Bandito song. And everybody knows that the world is full of stupid people. You know that song. Meet me at the mission at midnight. We'll divvy up there.
Okay. The new winner of Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
You don't know The Refreshments?
I don't.
Heard that song.
Okay.
I got to pull it up here. But anyways, they did that song.
Yeah,
for
it's so great. It's such a great theme. Oh, that show, I the characters, and I came in about season 7 and lasted till about season 40. So no, I was there for 6.5 years. But I just all the elements, all the actors, the writers,
yes.
the animation directors.
Can we talk about maybe favorite theme songs from TV shows?
Ooh,
real quick.
Sure,
I'm gonna play a bit of this so the audience can learn. This is for knowledge.
Okay.
This is for learning.
Okay.
This is purely for learning purposes.
Sure.
So don't sue us for playing this song.
Brain is small.
Oh wait.
An ornery creature.
That sounds like talking.
It's the intro. It's like back when videos had.
Oh yeah.
All right,
remember
hang on.
That? Remember those?
All right, here we go.
What's happening?
Just how far down do you wanna go? Or we could talk it out over a cup of joe, and you could look deep into my eyes like I was a supermodel.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. Huge in like the 90s. This album.
Yeah, I love that
this.
Sounds great. Yeah. I just
I really did. Yeah.
Such a good tune. I love this song so much. But anyways, they did the... I just want to listen to the song.
The whole rest of the podcast.
The whole rest of the podcast is the song.
Let's play it on repeat.
Hold on. Here's the chorus. Shout out to Star Trek fans. Here we go. Anyways,
this is when President of the United States.
It was like 98.
Okay.
Remember, it was like 96 to 98.
Yeah. Everything sounded like that for a second.
Yeah, it was like rock.
Yeah.
Yo, that's a good tune though. And
it is a good tune.
I just love that, like the hook. Everybody knows the world's full of stupid people because it is. So
there's a lot. There's a good amount of
heavens.
Good amount.
Yes, a fair amount. True.
But yeah, so that was. That kind of blew my mind as a fan of the band and knowing who they were to know. That they wrote that song.
Yeah.
The name of the song, the theme is Yahoos and Triangles.
Oh.
For the King of the Hill
that's
theme.
That's funny. I didn't know that.
So that's that.
I did not look that up.
Christy, Everyone's Crazy But Us was shot in 2 days.
Yes.
I'm told. How was that?
It was amazing. It was, as writers, I've been writing pilots.
Okay.
And you... I mean, I can't speak for other people, but for myself, like I will put myself, my friends, my husband, my just everything that is my soul into these things. And yeah, it's nice to get paid to write them, which I do mostly. But then when they die, they're just gone. And the system is like, well, this is dead. So, you know, and you've just pooped out a baby. And then it's like one day, like you're full of hope and excitement that you get to tell these stories and have people connect to these characters and relationships. And then the next day, like, oh yeah, it's dead. They're going to pick up Bewitched or whatever. It's right. It's kind of the worst.
I mean, Darren Stevens is a great, if we're talking about Bewitched real quick to interrupt you, who's your favorite, Darren Stevens?
The first one.
Darren, was that Dick York?
Yes.
Dick York.
No, no, no.
Dick Sargent was the second one.
No, okay, Dick Sargent was the second.
Dick York was like the second one, right?
Dick York looked more like Jim Carrey.
Yes.
So I like Dick York.
Okay. But so when this producer, Alex Zeldin, helped me put it together, it was just wonderful. And I had wonderful actors and a bunch of kids that were great to work with that didn't destroy my house. And to get to tell these stories, because this was a pitch that I went out with that killed everywhere I went. One executive at a big four network said, oh, it was one of the three pitches I heard all season long that made me cry laughing. And then I'm like, well, then why didn't you buy it?
Right.
Like, I just can't understand whatever. And I can criticize it and whatever. And I was done complaining because then I was turning into my mother.
Did you say, why didn't you buy it?
Well, I know why. Because they now feel like they need to these high concepts to get attention. But what they don't realize is if they get that attention, it goes away. Because
right.
things that don't have something
some
that
roots,
people to
some...
come back to, then it's that's why television's terrible. Oh, everyone's doing different things. It's like, no, it's because you perceive this one guy, because all they care about is the 25-year-old dude.
Right.
That guy likes superheroes, and that guy likes big concepts and whatever. And that's great. And I don't want to criticize the people who are working their asses off on those things.
Sure.
It's just not my voice.
Right.
It's not what I do. And I thought, oh, this is a great show that people can relate to on different levels, and it has enough of a hook to where like it can get you there, but then it's just, you know, because there hadn't been a really good couple show since Mad About You, and we wanted to do like a Mad About You meets Curb Your Enthusiasm mentality, but just the modern marriage, and like I love Modern Family, but that you can only give so much time to each, it, you know, family. It's about the family more so than a marriage, although they do marriage stuff wonderful, and again, that's not a criticism, it's just more like this is what I wanted to do. And you know, this kid was like, here's what we do. You write them all to take place in the house. And so I took kind of the stuff from the pitch, and I asked my friend Janet Varney, who is beyond, and she's like, great, I'll do it. Just write them up. And she was in before I'd even written them. And she's like, Diedrich Bader is a friend. I'm like, oh my gosh, if I could just get Diedrich Bader, I think he's dreamy. Because I wanted like a man with like of substance. Like I didn't want him to be like the guy that was going to cower to the, you know, I wanted them both to be big comedic voices and strong, and not that anyone isn't, but just that's just kind of what I had. And luckily, when she said she was friends with him, I'm like, great, because that is the perfect person for this part. And then, you know, I wrote them all to take place in the house. I did a table read. I'm friends with Kate Walsh, so she was lovely to come and help out. And my husband works, he was the network executive on Key and Peele, so I was friendly with Keegan, Michael Key, and out of the goodness of his heart, because I said, well, 1 hour, if we can get him 1 hour on a Sunday. And I have him with a bunch of children. I'm like, why would I get him for an hour and then throw a bunch of children in the scene? Because that was, you know, take time.
Sure.
Anywho, and I just kind of like, I don't want to complain anymore. I'm going to do this. And those 2 days were joyful.
Right.
It was like finally doing something that I had written about, and there were things I wanted to say. Yeah. There were things like, there's one moment where she says, there's this silent war on social media between nons and non-moms. I don't talk about it, Gary, because I'm strong. She's so funny. But anyway, like that was something that, okay, I wanted this character who's kind of, because that is true on social media, men don't have to deal with that if they're dads or not, but women on social media, like if you're a mom, you're posting all, you know, this mom stuff, and if you're not, if you've chosen, which is a totally perfect choice, but then you're posting articles about how people who are single live longer, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just so anyway, that's just for instance of like, oh, I want to say something about that. And but no one's letting me say anything, so I'm just gonna do this. And you know, it wasn't cheap.
Right.
In fact, when I these guys, I'm like, oh, so the crews just work for free? And he's like, no, that's not how this works. We don't all just volunteer.
Yeah.
I mean, they did. He did. And the DP, his name is Julian Lesueur. He was one of the finalists for Project Greenlight this year. Gifted young man. And we just had a blast. We had a blast, and we laughed, but yet they were very professional because we had to move on. Sure. We couldn't dilly dally, and the only, of course, my son plays one of the kids in it, and like getting him to like just do it one more time. He's like, no. I'm like, I'll give you a Girl Scout cookie. So I had like these Thin Mints, and it was like, okay, you'll get one for every good take. Like he's a seal or something. But anyway, it
his energy got more and more crazy.
Yes.
Like you're almost in character. Hold on.
Yeah. So it was beyond.
Well, see, that's cool too, and that's a testament to you know, getting something behind something you believe,
right? Like
getting
you know
your voice out there, and then there's nothing cooler than when everything starts lining up and you're getting it done, and
right.
Like Keegan Michael Key comes.
So
and
funny.
I couldn't. When he walked in the door, I cried a little. I'm like, they can't see the director cry, but I just kind of like I just couldn't believe
his substitute teacher bit on there, Jay Quellen. Hey, Jay Quellen.
He's
so great and couldn't be a more lovely and nice and kind. I just That's cannot awesome. Say enough. I mean, you know, like when people become successful, some of them are assholes.
Right? Yeah.
Not him. He's a prince.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And came and did this for me just out of the goodness of his heart.
That's so cool.
I know.
That's great.
That's cool. That's when the universe is saying this is meant to be, do this.
Right? Well, I had to do it like you. You know? Sometimes you just have to do it.
You just have to do it. You have to. You have to do it on your own.
Yeah.
You have to get people to see you.
Yes.
You just have to. Because it's really hard to just, like we were talking before, you can't just, it's very hard to write a spec script and...
Absolutely. And like on top of that, I had a meeting with a company called Think Factory yesterday. They do a lot of they do some scripted. They did that Hatfields and McCoys miniseries for the history. And they did like the Gene Simmons reality show. They got a couple other things like that. But I had a pitch meeting with them and we were talking and like it's become the thing nowadays where it's so easy to do it yourself. Like
yes,
it's so
absolutely.
Accessible.
Yeah.
Now.
I mean, it costs money, but.
It costs money, yes. That's the hard part.
You can't just go up on a stage and be funny. You have, there's kind of an entrepreneurial thing
absolutely.
That the modern world, as well as these people, because their industry is dying, they are only going to bet on the horses that have already had a, you know what I mean? Like they're,
right.
I don't know, I lost the analogy just there, just woof in a puff of smoke. But what I mean is, if I was a network head or whatever, and you know Bill Lawrence came in with another show, I'm going to buy that and spend that money before I'm going to. I mean, I get it. I understand why. So there's not so much of like, ooh, we're going to find someone. We're going to
They want to see the proof of concept. Yeah, they want to see it, and they also want to see that it's working now. They want to see that there's views and there's
right. Because we went back. By the way, we went to every single network, everyone with the proof of concept, and they were like, and I'm like, you guys, we already have 68,000 combined views from Funny or Die and the Funny or Die YouTube, and I'm like, how can you? People have been saying how much they like. What?
Right.
So I think you're right. I think it's not just hey, here are these things. It's got to be.
Are there reactions? And,
yes.
And you really, yeah. And then they then all of a sudden they start listening to you and when they
well,
see
let's
it,
hope.
They have to see it. You have to, it's so funny how you have to show them what it is in so many ways. Like,
yeah,
shoot it. Okay, that's not enough. I wrote it. Check this out. We love it. It's made, your pitch is great.
Right.
And then, no, but now you're seeing it. I did it.
Yeah. Hi.
Okay, is anybody else seeing it? Because we need to... It's almost like dating. It's like, I need to know somebody else likes you so that I like you.
Right.
You
it
know?
Is.
It's
it
like,
is.
Oh, they like you? Wait. Hold on.
Yeah,
I think I like you too.
It's like things don't get bought until there's a bidding war, and it's like,
right.
Well, then they get shelved.
Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah, it is.
But you know what? It's the whole thing. Do it yourself. Get out there.
Yep.
Make it happen.
Yep.
And then
it's so
rewarding. Somebody will see it.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you have? Are you working on anything else you're excited about? Do you have anything else in the lineup, or
well,
just this thing right now?
There's a deal to maybe do more, but when you're negotiating with an entity that's not a TV entity, they don't understand things.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that, because I'm kind of embroiled in that right now, trying to see like, okay, what's this going to be and whatever, and meeting people and whatever. Nothing that I, you know, can say.
Yeah,
but,
fair enough.
Sure,
but trying to write. That's kind of what Yeah. And I want to start this. I want to start my own YouTube page. Yeah. And here's because I, it's called Racket TV. There's just trailers on it now, and I'm going to put this and any like female, funny, smart. I'd like to kind of showcase that. I find, and again, I'm trying not to complain because I don't turn into my mother, but a lot of internet, television, film, they're doing great stuff for men. Great, great male characters, great, great stuff. But it's very hard to pitch a show about women.
Right.
Or just have a woman in your show, and a woman showrunner is very like, ooh, how, why are the men going to watch? And it's like, oh, because it's funny.
Right.
And you know what? There's this perception, and I think it has gotten out of control a little bit, because men aren't just going to not watch women on television. Like, when I was a kid, it was Roseanne and Murphy Brown and Designing Women you know, a lot of strong female characters that were either the leads of their shows, Brett Butler, or there were multiple women together on a show, not just one, not just two, more than two women on a show.
Right.
But anywho,
Golden Girls, by the way, one of the best written shows on television.
That is so enduring. And not only are there women,
older
but
women.
They're right. They're, yeah. That's exactly right.
Do you think
right.
that would exist today?
Oh, no.
It
no.
should, right?
I don't even say that, because then someone's going to do a reboot.
I know.
I can't even with that.
But it would be cool to see like an edgy, grittier type of version, like a single cam Golden Girls in like a...
Well, you know, they have a show called Getting On. My friend Alex Borstein is on it.
I saw it.
They're women and they're not
nurses,
in their
right?
20s. Yeah, yeah. And it's about getting older and, you know, dealing with the things that you have to deal with. And... it's a great show.
Yeah,
it's a great show.
I saw it for a season. Yeah,
my applause to HBO for you know doing it and all that.
Yeah. Do you think it's now that you raise that? Because you're right. We had Designing Women. We had Golden Girls. We had Murphy Brown. Do you think there was more female focused shows?
Yes, there
during
were
that time.
Yes.
And why? What's the difference?
Well, here's the confounding thing: is advertisers. Women are very sought after.
Sure.
I mean, think about cosmetics. Think about,
gosh.
And my friend, Cheryl Holliday, who developed a show called Middle Age Rage. In fact, I couldn't believe she actually sold it and got it to pilot, starring Annie Mumolo. And I'm like, bless your heart. Bless whoever put this together, because it was such a... like, wow, not only is it a woman, but a woman that's not 20. And she had a whole spiel when she went into pitch about, like, women make 80% of the financial decisions in the home.
Right.
And, like, on all this thing. I think that advertisers, this, again, I'm not sure. But I think advertisers like younger audiences because they don't have as much brand loyalty. Again, this is I'm going off something from years ago. I'm assuming that's why things they want young,
right?
And that, but I can't understand why women have been now. I know that certain brands like Comedy Central. Comedy Central is a dude's brand. Like that's my husband works there. They have women. In fact, one of the best feminist voices of the past 10 years is on their network.
Right.
But I think that their main focus is men. That's just because that's their brand, and that helps people come and seek them out. I don't know why. Like, I don't know why people are so married to their brands, because if you appeal to everyone, you're going to get more of those people than if you appeal to just the small amount of people.
Absolutely.
But so I think that somewhere along the line, and I thought I heard this about movies, that people would argue that most movies are for men because that women will go on date night to see a superhero movie with their boyfriend, but the boyfriend's not going to come to see My Big Fat Greek Wedding or whatever.
Right.
Which I just think that's ridiculous. And we've kind of built that culture and we've fostered it. I mean, when I, like in the 70s, there were such wonderful movie stars and gritty and real dramas and great stuff that was all ages, all sexes, all, you know, whatever. But,
right.
I mean, I guess it comes down to, everyone's crazy but us.
Right.
Everyone's crazy but us. Chrissy, thank you for joining us.
Oh, this was so fun. You guys are super fun.
Where can everybody find you on the internet and on social media and all that?
I am on Twitter.
Okay.
Don't I have four followers, okay, and even they like go, some come back. It's hard.
Yeah.
at Christy S. Mann. Okay. For some reason, Christy Stratton was taken, so I went with my married name, which I go by Christy Stratton professionally, so I don't know why I did that. So Christy with a Y, S. Mann at whatever, Twitter, that name.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, yeah, that will be on Racket TV on YouTube. Okay. The Funny or Die, they'll still be on Funny or Die, everyone's crazy, but their YouTube page only, like, they took a generation away from, so in other words, they're not as crisp on their YouTube, so I'm putting them on my YouTube with a maximum.
720. Is it 720?
You know what? I let the boys decide, sure, like all that stuff. I don't know.
I just threw that number out there.
I can't be like, there's only so much. Stevie Ray Vaughan is still in there. Yeah, I can't fit 720 in there too.
No, your baby's a genius though. Your baby has all that information. Can't speak it yet.
Okay. All those things.
Do all those things, everybody. Mike, where can everybody find you?
They can find me. I live in Studio City, so they can just go check that out. Hacks of Life on YouTube. You can check that out, and hopefully we see it on History Channel.
All right.
And
that's fantastic.
At Michael Capes on Twitter.
At Mike Capes.
Mike Capes on Twitter.
The Mike Capes, or the Mike Capes.
One of those.
Yeah. The real Mike Capes.
At the real. And Mike Capes on Instagram is where I mostly do my work.
Oh, I'm on Instagram, too.
Wonderful. Yes.
I'm at something. I don't know. I think it's Christy Stratton on that.
All right.
Okay, Christy Stratton.
Yes.
Okay.
Do all those things. Everybody follow those things. Yeah. Continue to listen to this podcast and tell everybody about it.
Yes. Where should we follow you?
Follow me in a dark alley. You can follow me at Tay Diggs on Twitter.
He's following me, everyone.
Following everybody. Yeah. He's following like everybody.
Yeah.
I love it. Continue to tell everybody about the podcast. Give us good reviews. We appreciate it all. And, as always, if the house is a rockin', don't come a knockin'.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Thanks, Christy. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.